It's very good to be back to the Yismach Yisrael. We missed out, unfortunately, on a lot of beautiful sukkahs. Anyone have a chance to look at any of the sukkahs Torahs over the break? Some really beautiful Torah on sukkahs and Hoshana Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres, and Pesora. But now we come back to Volume 1. You can see in the Hakdama, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside now, but if you see on the page, right before the first page, right before Bereishis, where it says Hakdama, looks like this. In the Hakdama, it tells us why the Alexander Rebbe Sefer was named Yismach Yisrael. If you remember, I told you he passed away in the year 1910, and a year after his Petira was when they first printed the Sefer. So in the Hakdama here, which was written by the relatives of the Rebbe, so he says towards the middle, where it says in big bold letters Yismach Yisrael, I'll show you one line in the Hakdama. It says, Karanu Shema Sefer Yismach Yisrael. We called the name of the Sefer Yismach Yisrael. Again, the Rebbe's name was Yisrael Yitzchak. Later they added, because of an illness, they added the name Yerachmiel as well. Yerachmiel Yisrael Yitzchak. That's what it says on the title page of our Sefer. But he was known as Yisrael. So the Sefer was called Yismach Yisrael, Al Shemo HaKadosh, Va'al Pulaso HaKadosh. It was named Yismach Yisrael because his name was Yisrael, and Yismach was very much connected to his avoda, which was what? Sha'amar b'yamim ha'achronim kodem histalkuso. I mentioned this to you in the first year, that a short period of time, in the final days before he passed away, he said about himself, Shaya ovir al midas simcha v'sameach levavos Yisrael. That I've dedicated my life to being a joyous person in order to inject the joy into the hearts of Jews. And that's really what he was. And you'll see, again, as we learn the Sefer, you'll see that the Sefer is very much the type of Sefer that was written to be mechazek us. It was written really to carry us. And for those of you last year, when we learned the Kedushas Levi, you'll see it's very similar in terms of its ability to lift us up. Okay, turn the page. You can see also, they put a psicha, an introductory paragraph, right here before Bereishis, from the year Tafresh Nun Dalet. Tafresh Nun Dalet would be 1894. And here, just a paragraph from the Rebbe's, from the Tzaddik's writings, he writes here, who is not afraid to share Divrei Torah Barabim? He says, the Medrash Tanchuma says that when a person teaches Torah Barabim, he should see himself Kilo Omid Ba'esh, as if he's standing in a fire. Very intense. The challenge of transmitting Torah publicly, it's a very big achrayis. He says, yet at the same time, there's also a serious achrayis to withhold one's Torah. So the Rebbe, again, part of his Ksav Yad, not sure in what context he wrote these words down, but you see the Rebbe himself was grappling, on the one hand, feeling unworthy of teaching Torah publicly, and on the other hand, feeling an obligation that if I have what to say, I have to say it. And I guess, the children of the family members felt it was appropriate to put this in as a psicha to the Sefer, to understand that the Rebbe didn't publish this in his lifetime. The Rebbe hesitated in many ways to share Torah publicly because of his humility. And yet at the same time, he felt an intense obligation to get the word out. And I think we all have to live with that balance a little bit in our lives. We can't be overly humble and say, who am I to share Torah publicly? Every one of us has something to share and to teach. And at the same time, you should understand that even if you're giving a simple Dvar Torah to someone who knows less than you, you have a big achrayus to give it over in an honest way. And don't misquote a Gemara just because the other person's not going to catch you on it. If you don't know, say you don't know. Have the humility to admit that there are a lot of things that I don't know. And to give over Torah with a sense of Rav Shai Shechter, always likes to say from his father, Rav Shechter, that part of the mitzvah, of Hidur mitzvah, part of Zek Keli Va'anveyu, which means we have to make mitzvahs beautiful, it doesn't only mean buy the nicest lulav and esrog, or make a nice mantle for the Sefer Torah. It means that when you give a Dvar Torah, make sure you know what you're talking about. There's Hidur mitzvah when you give a Dvar Torah also. You share an idea in Torah, you should be clear. You should be able to give it over in a way that's pleasing to the ones who are listening. Yeah?
How does this
branch
back to the Lashon Kodesh?
Right, so where is the Yismach Yisrael in terms of his his branches.
Yeah, so he wasn't so pronounced on our Lua. I don't even think he was on this side of the Lua.
You take
he quotes a lot from his Rebbeim were primarily the Rebbe of Vorki. Quotes a lot from Rav Yitzchak of Vorki. He quotes from the Rebbe of Radzmin. He quotes from Rav Simcha Buna of Preshischa. More or less, it's the Polish Hasidic branch that finds its way back to the Yirah Kadosh and to the Chos of Lublin and to Veli Melech, to the Magid, to the Balshem. So it's that world of Polish Hasidus. But you'll see, he quotes the Rebbe of Vorki was one of his main Rebbeim. We'll get to meet Rav Yitzchak Vorker, who was a big tzaddik, and a person who we'll get to know, Birtz Hashem. Okay, but it's that world of Polish Hasidus, which I happen to love very much in terms of the Torah. Of anyone who came from that world, the Torah I find to be very chizakdik and very deep and very novel. Whether you're learning Shem Yishmuel or Shvas Emes or Tzadok or Ishbitz or Ger, any of those worlds of Torah were just tremendous wellsprings of very fresh Torah. Okay, so let's begin with Bereishis. We'll do Os Aleph. It's a decently long piece. We'll probably only get to do this one piece. And maybe one small piece in the back of the sefer as well. Bereishis bara Elokim, Perish Rashi, Shem Kol Yisrael. We learn on behalf of those Jews who've never heard of Yismach Yisrael and have yet to learn it. Maybe we'll never learn it. So we attach ourselves to Knesset Yisrael. Bereishis bara Elokim, Perish Rashi zal. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak lo hayitzarach lahaschil la Torah ela meachodesh hazel lachem. Says Rabbi Yitzchak. Some have thought to suggest that Rabbi Yitzchak is in fact Rashi's father. Rashi's name is Shlomo ben Yitzchak, or Shlomo Yitzchaki. It's probably not true. Rabbi Yitzchak is Rabbi Yitzchak from the Medrash. An interesting idea. So Rabbi Yitzchak said in the Medrash that it's strange that the Torah starts from Bereishis. Bereishis is so cryptic, we don't understand Bereishis. It's filled with mysteries of creation that we don't understand, that we're not meant to necessarily spend so much time thinking about. So why didn't the Torah just start from mitzvot? Why not start from Achodesh Hazeh Lachem? Which of course raises the question, why not start with those mitzvot that come before that? Like Bris Milah and Gidon Asha. Okay, but why not start from the birth of Klal Yisrael? How about the first mitzvah of the Jewish people? Achodesh Hazeh Lachem. The Jewish people's ability to govern the calendar. So it says, in a certain sense, the Torah could have begun from mitzvot. Teach us our obligation. How do you start what's expected of us? Mitzvos. The Torah seemingly could have started from Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, Shemos Perak Yud Beis. Shei mitzvah yishona shenitztavu by Yisrael. Why not, right? That's where it could have started. That was the first mitzvah the Jewish people were commanded in. Umay taima pasach bebereishis. Asks Rabbi Yitzchak, why in fact did the Torah start from bereishis? Mishum koach ma'asav higid la'amo v'gomer. Yishum koach mas of higid la'amo, quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, to give strength, so to speak, to the Jewish people. Namely, she'im yomer umas ha'olam listim atem, she'kevashtem eret zayin amimim, that if the nations of the world will try to claim that you Jews stole Eretz Yisrael from the seven nations that lived in the land of Israel, yomer lahem will be able to respond, hold on a second, let's just review who's in charge of the world, who's in charge of assigning territories. Who owns the world? Yom Rulahem will be able to reply to the nations of the world who accuse us of being of being oppressive people who conquered the land of Israel and stole it away from the Zion Am and Ki'ilu was theirs, will be able to respond, Kol La'aret Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole world belongs to Hashem. Hu Bara, He created it, V'nasna L'asher Yashar Be'enath, and Hashem gives it to whoever He feels is the proper recipient, whoever is fitting in His eyes. Biritzono nasalehem. It was Hashem's desire that the Zion Amamin should temporarily have bailus over the land, have ownership over the land. Uviritzono not lamehem nasalanu. And it was that same God who took it from them and gave it to us. Whose sefer is that? This one has your name in it. How many copies do you have? You could have a couple, I guess. This says Gabriel Leifer and Gabriel Leifer.
All right, so then I guess we can switch one. So I have another one in my room that I
Oh, yeah? Cool. Okay. No, I don't. You can do that. It's all good. I just want to make sure that Elliot gets paid. That's all. I'm not worried. Nathan, you got a copy? Can you pass Nathan a set? Thanks. You could buy one of Gibbs. He's got a couple. Okay, so that's Rashi. Nilchav, you've heard this Rashi before? That's Rashi. Rashi says, Eretz Yisrael belongs to God, and God gives it to whoever He wants, and therefore we need to know history. We need to know the background. You know, very often some of the most vicious attacks against the Jewish people come about through revisionist history, by writing versions of the story that simply aren't true. So the Torah preempts that whole problem and predicts that whole problem by saying from the start, listen, God made the world. God's in charge. God gives Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people, and people need to learn to accept that. Okay? So that's Rashi. HaPerush HaPoshethu explains our Rebbe, the Yismach Yisrael. Simple explanation is, Shetshuvas Yisrael hi, Shetanai hitna HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maisa Bereishis. The simple explanation is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Tanai, a condition, an arrangement from the beginning of time. Shem Yekablu Yisrael Daika HaTorah Mutav. That if the Jewish people accept the Torah, then all is well. Ve'im lav achzir aschem l'tohu v'avoh. Let's remind ourselves that Hashem set up the world on condition that there's going to be a Jewish people who uphold the values of the Torah and make the world a good place. That's the Hey Yisera Shal Yom HaShishi. As Rashi comments, as Chazal explained, it says Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Rivi'i, Yom Chamishi, Yom HaShishi. What's the HaShishi? The sixth day. So Chazal understood the sixth is not only talking about the sixth day of the week, but it's talking about the sixth of Chodesh Sivan. The sixth of Sivan being the day of Kabbalah Satorah, Shavuos. So therefore, from the beginning of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if there's going to be a Torah, the world can exist. If there's not going to be HaShishi, the sixth, namely the sixth of Sivan, the world's not going to function. Kedivrei Chazal, as Chazal have explained in Shabbos Peches. So therefore the world was in a very tenuous state until the Torah was accepted. The world was more or less on the verge of collapse until there's a Torah to solidify reality. If the Jews don't accept the Torah, the world goes back to tohu vavohu. And therefore what? Through the acceptance of Torah, we now own the world. You understand why? The way that they explain it in other Svarim, we've mentioned this in the past, there's a Mishnah in Bava Metzia that says, Hamatzil mizuto shel yam. If a person saves something from the ocean, you can keep it. It's assumed that whoever lost it gave up on ever retrieving it. Now, it might have the person's name on it and a phone number, right? But if someone was on a kosher cruise and one of their possessions fell into the water, they have no intentions of ever seeing it again. So if in 3 months' time it washes up on some island that you happen to be living on, and now you've retrieved it from the ocean, even if it has, if found, please call, it's yours. Halachically, it's yours, because we assume that something that disappeared in the ocean, the owner has certainly been miyayish of ever retrieving it. Okay? So in a certain sense, anything that is more or less like lost on its own, that's beyond hope, and you end up discovering it, so it's yours to keep. So the tzaddikim use that to explain our right to the world. Yaakov and Esav, when they were in the womb, made a deal. What was the deal? Yaakov says, I'll take olam haba. Esav says, I'll take olam haza. So the question then becomes, so how do you have so many possessions? How does Yaakov have shor v'chamor, tzon v'eved? How does Yaakov have all of these possessions? They should belong to Esav. We made a deal in the womb. You're taking olam haba, I'm taking olam haza. What right does Yaakov have to olam haza? And the answer is, right? Well, twofold. You could say different answers. You could say, based on what the Or HaChaim taught us a couple of years ago, that the world only has enough energy to last for 6 days. Yeah, ki sheishes yamim asa Hashem es shemayim ves aretz. It doesn't say ki b'sheishes yamim. It doesn't say God made the world in 6 days. It says God made the world for 6 days. Ki sheishes yamim. We sing it in the Zeros of Shabbos. Ki l'shisha kol bruim v'ovdim. That the world is only able to sustain itself for 6 days. What keeps the world going? Shabbos. And who keeps Shabbos? Only the Jewish people. So when the world is about to collapse every week, it's our Shabbos which saves the world. So that's like retrieving something that's beyond hope, that's completely hopeless. And therefore it's like Hamatzel Mizuto Shalyam. Our right to Olam Hazeh is through our keeping of Shabbos, or the way the Yismach Yisrael is saying it here, the whole Mahalach I just gave you was from Rav Bezalel Radinsky, in his Sefer Mishkan Bezalel. Or you could say it like the Yismach Yisrael is saying here. In general, the fact that we keep Torah keeps the world functioning. Like the Nefesh HaChaim says, if there's no Torah being studied, the world collapses. So therefore, our right to the world, to the physical world, is through the Torah. That's what he's writing here in the second paragraph. Hare kol ha'olam shalanu al yidei kabbalas ha'Torah. If there's not going to be an acceptance of Torah, the world goes back to tohu vavohu. So therefore, because we accepted the Torah, we now, through our keeping of the Torah, we own the world. Okay. In addition to the fact that the Umos Olam are simply not correct, in addition to the fact that we were commanded by Hashem to conquer the land of Israel and to settle it. But independent of that, we should own the whole world because we're the ones who are the guarantors for the world. It's our Torah and mitzvot that keep the world going. Now, the Umos Olam are going to respond to that and say, well, what about when you don't keep the Torah? What right do you have to the land of Israel when you're not doing the will of God? I understand. You want to be very firm about it. You want to say you keep the Torah and therefore the world belongs to you. Great. So the nations of the world say, but what about when you're not keeping the Torah? Shouldn't you then lose your right to be in charge of the world? You've been given the world on condition that you're going to be the guarantors of the Torah. So when you're not true to the Torah, you've lost your right to the world. And in case that sounds like strange, we've seen it countless times. When Jews are bad, we get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. So it sounds like the whole notion of Galus is rooted in this idea. Keep the Torah or you lose the land. So we'll see if the Umos HaOlam are going to be okay with our return to the land, which is really what we're discussing here. Let's see. But let's go a little deeper into this Medrash. As my father explained, and this will sound familiar from what we learned in Rosh Hashanah, my father explained, based on the words of the Tikkuni Zohar, Bereshis, Beis Reshis. The first word of the Torah is filled with so much wisdom. Bereshis, Beis Reshis. Two starts, two beginnings. Two beginnings. We began Shir before Yantiv, and now we're beginning again. Right? On Monday, we're going to begin again. We're going to begin Bava Kamma on Monday. I didn't think it was shayach to begin Bava Kamma on a Thursday. I'm happy to see we have a big Olam today. We'll have a special shir today. Bereshis Beis Reshis explains the Shla Kadosh, the Holy Shla, Sefer Shnei Luchos Habris, Shla. The Shla Kadosh explains in Mesachas Rosh Hashanah, Kavanas HaTekios B'chol Chodesh El Alpi Pashuru. We can explain the sounds of the shofar as follows. Tikiya Rishona, hu remez lasher asa elokim es ha'adam yasha. We read on Chol HaMoed Sukkis that in the book of Koheles, that Hashem made man straight, yasha, honest, upright. That's how man was created. Ve'achar kachu shvarm trua. But after the simple tikiya, the straight sound, tikiya, then all of a sudden what happens? What does the pasuk say? God made man upright and straight. V'heim bikshu chesbonos rabim. And we got into all sorts of bilbulim. All sorts of confusion. Chesbonos rabim. All sorts of thoughts. All sorts of ideas. We made it so complicated. We always make it so complicated. We make everything complicated. We make being a Jew complicated, we make being a person complicated, we make life complicated. Life doesn't have to be so complicated, but we make it complicated. So we get into a world of Shvarim Trua, right? Elokim Asa Esa Adam Yashar, Hashem made a person Yashar, V'heim Bikshu Cheshbonos Rabim. I'll just pause for half a second. It says Elokim, Elokim, right? Elokim, Elokim made a person Yashar. What's Elokim? Which name of God is Elokim? Midas Adin. So the Tzaddikim explained that part of the goal of Rosh Hashanah, the Zman Hadin, the Yom Noram, is to make us Yashar again. Midas Hadin straightens a person out. If a person's a wise guy, yeah? If someone's out of line and someone puts them in their place, all of a sudden they get it together. Right? Sometimes Midas Hadin, if there's a kid in the class who's goofing off, and the teacher says something very sharp or stern to them, all of a sudden, you see their whole body language changes. All of a sudden, this goofy guy who's all over the place, all of a sudden becomes very, he gets it together. There's something about Midas Hadin that's strict, that pulls things together. The Midah of Yitzchak Avinu. Avram is Chesed, Chesed is expanding. Midas Hadin is contracting. It gets things in the right place. So the whole process of Rosh Hashanah is to straighten us out. The whole process of Yom Kippur is to straighten us out. The Yemei HaDin is to straighten us out. Elokim, right? Asher Osa Elokim Esa Adam Yashar. It's through Midas HaDin that a person becomes Yashar. I mentioned that our shul is Ne'ilas HaChag, and I think part of the reason we read Bereishis right after the Yom Noraim is to remind ourselves we worked so hard to straighten ourselves out. We went through so many different ways of trying to just get ourselves back on the proper path. To fix ourselves up a little bit. To clean ourselves up. To make ourselves yashar. Right? And yet we remind ourselves immediately after Yontif, by reading Bereishis and Noach, how quickly things can fall apart. We work so hard on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Elul, Sukkot, so many opportunities to get ourselves cleaned up. And what do Chazal say? In a couple of hours, Adam was kicked out of Gan Eden. He ruined everything. It's a very strong reminder to ourselves. Like, let's try to hold on to everything we've been building. Let's not throw it away so quickly. Let's try to maintain it. Let's make sure that we stay the elevated human beings that we are. Elokim asa Adam yashar. We become Adam again. We become like Adam kodem achay. But we have to maintain it. We have to not let it fall apart. Tell you a quick story. Tzemach Tzedek from Lubavitch. He had a big avoda of going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. Very big avoda. And they say that when he came out of the mikvah, you could see the Tzelem Elokim radiating off of him. I don't know what that means, but it was a sight to see. People wanted to see. It was known that when the Tzemach Tzedek came back from the mikvah on Erev Shabbos Kodesh, it was very kedai to see him on his way back from the mikvah. You could see things. He could see things. You could see things. It was... So people used to line up. The word got out. This is something to see. And Hasidim used to literally line up on the streets to watch him come back from the mikvah. And the Rebbe was not into it at all. So the Rebbe decided, I'm getting the word out. This has to stop. None of the Hasidim are allowed to be out in the streets when I come back from the mikvah. This is not... Everyone go home, help your wives prepare for Shabbos. We're not doing this anymore. Okay? And the Hasidim were respectful. They listened. Two Hasidim were sitting in the Beis Medrash one day, and one of them said to his friend, he said, it's really not fair. He said, right across from the mikvah, there's like a little farm. And on that farm, there are little goats, tzigalach. He said, there's a little tzigalach on the farm, there's little goats on the farm. And the goat, Tzemach Tzedek, right when he comes out of the mikvah, we're the loyal Hasidim of the Rebbe, and we're not allowed to watch, but these little tzigalach on the farm, they get to... So he says to his friend, he says, I'd rather be a goat. I wish I could be a goat. Then I could be able to, then I'd be allowed to see the Tzemach Tzedek. So his friend says, you're talking like a shota. What kind of crazy thing is that to say? You want to be a behemoth? You're a person. Right? I understand you're expressing your loyalty to the Rebbe, but it's a stupid thing to say. What do you want to be a little goat so you could see the Rebbe? And he says, yeah, I feel that it would be kedai to see such an image, to see such a tzura. It's kedai, it would be kedai to be a little goat, just to have that opportunity. And they're debating back and forth. So finally they decided we're going to ask one of the Zakenim, one of the Ziknei Chassidim of Chabad. We're going to ask him his opinion on this matter. So they came to him and they said, what's the, you know, who do you paskin like? My friend here thinks it would be kedai to be a goat to be able to see the Selach Tzedek. I think that's a ridiculous thing and inappropriate for a human being who's created with a chelek alokam yimal inside of himself to say. So this elder, this alter chassid thought, and he said, your friend's right. He said, it would be kedai to be a goat. You could die to be a goat to see the Tzemach Tzedek. On condition that after you saw the Tzemach Tzedek, you became a person. You could die to be a goat to see the Tzemach Tzedek on condition that seeing such a thing would transform you from a behemoth to a person. You hear? It's a great story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked so hard on our behalf. We worked hard on our own behalf. But Hashem Himself, Kiviyachol, worked so hard to clean us up over the course of the last couple of weeks. And now it's our avoda to maintain that yashrus, to stay yashar. We were created to kia. We made a mess of our lives from trua, whether it's a big mess or a small mess. Remez kasher chotei ha'adam uma'aves darko, when he corrupts his ways, when a person makes his life crooked, when a person makes himself spiritually sick, as we explained, Zahe Genuche Ganach, that's the krechsing, the cry, the sobbing, the coughing of the shofar. The Kasher Yosef Lachtov Igia Chasvasham Lashari Mava Zebachinas Yolula Yalil Kederach Shemiyalin Alamesim Rachman Al Tzlana, as we explained when we learned the Torahs on Rosh Hashanah. After, of course, the coughing of the person who's sick, eventually comes the sobbing that comes along with the moments of death. But if you take it to heart that you've rebelled against Hashem, then before whom you've sinned, and how deep the Avera went, and you return to Hashem and you're healed, you become recreated like the day of birth. V'zehu remez tekiya achrona. And that's the tekiya that comes after the shvarim trua. V'zehu perish yesharim darche Hashem. If you remember, we asked the question, why is it plural, yesharim darche Hashem? How many proper paths are there? Well, there's the proper path that you were placed on when you were created. But if you made a mess of your life, you can get back on the proper path. There's another yashar. There's a way to get yashar again. You were made yashar. You corrupted your ways, become yashar again. Haynu shebachaste Hashem nivra'u beiz yasharim kodem achet, top of the left column, v'yashar la'achar achet. There's the straightness with which we were created, and then there's getting back on the proper path if you've strayed from that path. Adkan divrei hashla kadosh b'shinoi lashon hanachutz l'inyaneinu. Adkan, the words of the shla, as necessary to apply it slightly differently for our context. V'zehu beis reishis. So, however, we open up the Torah this Shabbos and we read Bereishis, beis reishis. What is beis reishis? Says the Yismach Yisrael, Hainu harishon kasher adam nolad. There was the reishis, the starting point when you were first created, sweet, innocent little child. V'acher kach kasher heva darko v'chata v'shav la'ashem b'chol libo nasa b'chinas reishis k'katan shenolad. Then there's the reishis that takes place after we've corrupted our ways and we've strayed, and now we've returned with all of our hearts. We're like a katan shenolad, like a newborn child, and we're given a second reishis. Ulaya perish b'shla kadosh ki shnei yisharim darche Hashem. There's two types of yashrus, yisharim darche Hashem. Tzadikim asher yelchu bam zehu yashar echad v'yashar asheni hu leposhim asher yichashlu bam chas v'shalom. The Pasuk says, Yesharim Darchei Hashem. Hashem's ways are straight. Tzadikim walk those paths. And sinners stumble in them. So says the Yisrach Yisrach, a beautiful pshat. The Pashat pshat is, right, God's ways are good. Tzadikim walk in the ways of God. And Hashem walk away from God. He says, no. God's ways are good. There are tzadikim who walk God's path straight away. They stay on the path of Hashem. But then there's also Rishaim who have stumbled, who also get back to Yasharim Darchei Hashem. They also get back to the path of the Yashar. There's the Yashar path, you know, plan A, and then there's the Yashar plan B. That they become Yashar once again. So now, Chavis, let's get to Rashi now. What did Rashi say? Lo hayot sarich lahaschu Torah elameach chodesh hazelachem mitzvah achas or mitzvah echad shenistavu by Yisrael. Really, we could have started from the first mitzvah hachodesh hazelachem haynu shabi Yisrael tluyim kol hateva. The pasuk that tells us that we're in charge of the calendar, that we're in charge of the world, that the natural order follows us v'chol hiluch hamazalos. The rotation of the constellations are connected to our behavior, believe it or not. Ukemavur b'Yushalmi, as the Yushalmi has in several places, on the pasuk Ekra l'Elokim Elyon Lakel Gomer Alai Ibru based in Achodesh Bisuleha Chozer. The Gemara discusses the possibility that if a young girl under the age of three, over the age of three. If a young girl loses the signs of her virginity over the age of three, we assume that that's going to be her physical reality from that point forward. But Chazal have a concept that if a young girl were to have the signs of virginity lost under the age of three, Bisuleha Chozrin. Bisuleha Chozrin means that the body will heal itself, and in fact it will be restored. So the Gemara discusses in the Yerushalmi what happens if a girl is 3 years old. She gets injured, right, and her hymen is ruptured, and she lost the signs of being a virgin. And then all of a sudden, Beis Din come along, and Beis Din say, you know what? We're adding an extra Adar. We're extending the calendar. So now, retroactively, she's not three anymore. She's under three now. So the Gemara says, oh, her body's going to respond to the Psak of the Beis Din. Because a girl under three, Bisuleha Chozrin, the signs of her virginity are restored. So by Minik, when Chazal changed the calendar, all of a sudden now her body responds to that reality. Okay? Now, whether or not that's scientifically true or not, and how we would still explain this Yerushalmi, if I were to prove to you in a medical study that it's not true, and again, I'm not saying one way or another, right? But if one were to prove that even, we still need to understand what Chazal are getting at here. And that is that there's a certain bittul that the natural order has to the Torah. The Torah dictates reality. The Torah dictates to nature how it's going to function. Okay, this is a very extreme example that the Yerushalmi gives. That by Chazal extending the calendar, it'll retroactively change the age of this child. And by extension, her body will have a physical response to that. Okay, again, how exactly that works, is that really true, is beyond the scope of our investigation right now. What we're interested in is the fact that HaChodesh HaZelachem is Hashem empowering Klal Yisrael to be in charge of time. And that's an amazing power that we've been given. So let's keep reading. V'al yedei ha-mitzvah azos nisparsim gedulas yikras romos Yisrael, and through HaChodesh HaZelachem, by putting the Jewish people in charge of time, of the calendar, of arranging the motions of the constellations, that gives tremendous honor and power and authority to Klal Yisrael. El Shal Zema Shivan Umas Olam. But the nations of the world respond, and they say, hold on a second. Zehaya Kol Bizman Chasisim Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all fine and well as long as you Jews are doing the will of God. Meaning, through the power of Torah, you can change the natural order of things. Yoshua made the moon, made the sun stand in its place. Moshe Rabbeinu split the water. We know, through the power of Torah, a person can manipulate nature. There are countless examples of that in Tanakh, in Chazal, right? And there's stories of even tzaddikim in later times. Through the Koach HaTorah, we're able to overturn nature. However, the Umas HaOlam say to us, but what happens when you're not true to Torah? When you were in Yerushalayim, you're a Kodesh.
When you had the center of Torah in Israel, I understand. Aval kasher einayim roas Yisrael chotim v'heim begalus. But the nations say, what right do you have to Eretz Yisrael when you're in Galus? V'shalu im chatasam einu magia lachem Eretz Zayin Amrim. Ki darche tshuva... Right. So hold on, let's pause there for a second. So that's their question. Their question is, I understand Klal Yisrael's right to Eretz Yisrael, their right to the world, their ability to manipulate and control the world, to control Teva. I understand all of that. When the Jews are being true to the Torah and are maintaining their connection to Torah and by extension to Eretz Yisrael. But what happens when the Jews are sinful and the Jews are sent into Galus? So the reason they're asking this question is because of their inability to understand the concept of tshuva. The very notion, the Christian notion, that God eventually gave up on the Jewish people and decided to take on a different nation, right? That Hashem gave up on the Jews and took the Christians, or God gave up on the Jews and took the Muslims. That whole notion undermines the very underpinnings of tshuva, which is the first word of the Torah, Bereishis, Beis Reishis. Of course we mess up. We can start again. Yesharim Darchei Hashem. There's the straight path, the ideal path, and then there's the way to get back to the proper path. So the Ummah Sa'olah are asking this question because they don't understand the concept of tshuva. V'shalu im chatasam eino magia lachem eret zayin am. Ki darche ha-tshuva nista mehem. Ki ein mawel etzlam. And why don't the nations of the world understand the concept of tshuva? Because they themselves don't have the opportunity of tshuva. We learned the piece from the Bnei Yisrael, some of us learned one day, I don't remember what day it was, that the Medrash says, the Medrash Tanchuma says, that tshuva is only for Jews, not for non-Jews. There are many obvious questions, like, say, for Yonah, which we read on Yom Kippur, where Yonah is sent to a non-Jewish city called Nineveh to tell them to do tshuva. But there's some level of tshuva that's unique to a Jew, is uniquely connected to our relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the nations of the world say, once you've lost Israel, you've lost Israel. Once you've abandoned the Torah, God has abandoned you. He's given up on you. They don't fully grasp the concept of tshuva. Uma gam ki af la Torah v'chachma lo nigla inyan tshuva. And more than that, the Torah itself doesn't understand tshuva. Wisdom doesn't understand tshuva. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Medrash and the Yerushalmi and Makos that says, sholu l'chachma. Wisdom was asked. What should happen if a person does an avera? Punish him. Shalu l'nevuah. Nevuah was asked, what should you do to a person who does sins? And Nevuah also passes against him. No one could come up with a plan until Hashem himself, says the Talmud Yerushalmi, only God himself could offer a different plan. Which is what? Man messed up? Oh, do tshuva. Not Chachma, not Nevuah, not Torah, at Shekhanesh Baruch Hu, ba'atzma Amr. Until God himself came and revealed that there's a concept called tshuva. There's a concept called tshuva. So now look how beautiful Rashi becomes. What were the words in Rashi? The Torah could have started from HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, when the Jewish people were empowered to control the world. But then the nations of the world would have said to us, what? That's all good as long as you keep the Torah. What happens when you don't keep the Torah? So therefore, where does the Torah actually start? Bereishis. Why does the Torah start from Bereishis? Because we want to teach the Ummah Sa'olam from the start. Hold on a second. Every time you're going to try to sell out the Jews, just remind yourself, we make mistakes. Of course we make mistakes. We're the first to admit it. Even our tzaddik can make mistakes. Ain't tzaddik ba'aretz riyasa tova lo yachta. Tzaddik can make mistakes. But we also believe that we're not going to define our life by our mistakes. We're going to pick ourselves up. We're going to better ourselves. And therefore, the opening word of the Torah, Beis Reishis, is telling us that there's two starting points. There's the way Hashem made you yashar, and then there's getting back to yashar if you've messed up. And we believe in that very seriously. That's not just a way to make yourself feel good. We believe that it's possible to start again, katan shenol adam, to literally recreate oneself. And therefore, what were the words of Rashi? Who did Hashem give Eretz Yisrael to? What did Rashi say? What was the lashon of Rashi? Hashem made the world. Hu bara? Hashem made the world. And what? Nasna l'asher yashar be'inav. Hashem gave the Torah to who? to the one who's yashar in his eyes. Why do you use the word yashar? Because it hints to this whole Torah that we've been learning. Yasharim darchei Hashem, in plural. There's different ways to be yashar. Hashem made you yashar. You started off yashar. What happens if I messed up? Am I never yashar again? I can't become yashar again. It's not possible to become yashar again. I keep pausing because I keep debating if we should talk a little politics. It's late. But the very notion of tshuva, I would say, is being challenged in the Supreme Court right now. We can debate whether he did it or didn't do it, and I want to be very sensitive to the possibility that he did it. I want to be sensitive to the possibility that a person who did this should not sit on the Supreme Court. But still, the very notion of tshuva, the fact that a person, that there's no maturation over the course of a person's life. Senators are sitting for hours being down on a person's yearbook jokes. I think it just undermines the whole notion of tshuva. There's a lot to think about. We don't have time for it. We'll talk off the record. Hainu labal tshuva shenase yashar be'enei Hashem abochein libos uklayos. So what does it mean, the one who's yashar be'enei Hashem? Yashar be'enei Hashem means that Hashem sees yashar as being multifaceted. It's not only you're created perfect and if you messed up, well then God throws you out. It doesn't work like that. Ein tzadik ba'aretz yaseh tov lo yachta. People make mistakes. People make very significant mistakes sometimes. Right? We believe in tshuva. We believe in the possibility of a person changing those mistakes. There's really a lot to think about. Ganad mechavero, elements of tshuva. There's a lot to think about. Yes, we've made mistakes, says the Yismach Yisrael. But it's possible through the process of tshuva to become yashar once again. So he says, my father further explained this concept of the Beis Reishis, Nuchalafayish Beis Reishis, Behekdim Lefarish, Divrei Hapiyot. Let's learn the words that we use to call someone up for Chasan Bereshis. Okay? What do we say? On Simchas Torah we say the following. L'chein maskifin haschala l'hashlama b'tidira. We are maskifin haschala l'hashlama b'tidira. We always, tadir means always. We always what? We always bend, maskifin, like we bend, right? The shofar is kafuf. So we try to what? We try to bend the beginning to the end. We connect the beginning and the end. That's what it means. Lachin maskifin haschala l'ashlama b'tadira. We always, when we finish the Torah, start over. We attach the end of the Torah to the beginning. Shade. Now, if you look in some machzorim, it says ad, and some say shade. Okay? They're both possibilities. They both make sense. So on the page it says shade. Shade is a reference to the satan, as we'll see. But it might be ad. So either shade shalo yiragel ba'am zo lishakra, or ad shalo yiragel ba'am zo lishakra. What are we saying? When we call someone up for chasan bereishis, we're saying the following. We're saying we always connect the end of the Torah back to the beginning of the Torah. Shade shalo yiragel, so that the satan should not yiragel, miraglim, shouldn't speak lashon hara ba'am zo lishakra, by speaking sheker against our people. By connecting the end of the Torah to the beginning of the Torah, by starting over as soon as we finish the Torah, we're responding to the Satan. What are we responding to the Satan? Turn the page. Upera Shapai. What we're saying in this piyut is the following. Hu alpi divrei ha-medrash, brought in the Siddur Kolbo. Shebishas tesimu Yisrael at Torah, when we finish the Torah. Ho lecha Satan lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu lekatrig aleihem. The Satan always has something nasty to say. No matter what we do, Haser Satan milafaneinu me'acharenu, he'll get us from in front, he'll get us from behind. Satan always has a negative approach. Va'omer Yisrael lomdim Torah ve'enem esayimim osa. First the Satan will say, look, the Jews never finished the Torah. They never finished their projects. So what do you mean? So we do finish it. we make a siyum on the Torah. That's what Simchas Torah is about, celebrating the completion of Torah. Umiyad kishemesayim mosa, when we finish the Torah, then the satan says, well, oh, the Jews, they think they're so awesome, they finished the Torah. They think they've like mastered all of your Torah, God. So what do we do to show? No, we don't think anything of the sort. We're going to start over again right away. We have so much more to do. When we finish the Torah, God says, look, they finished. Yeah, but the Sultan says, yeah, but afal pichein, shemesayimim einam aschil mosa. Yeah, well, they don't begin again. So what do? Immediately, we respond to that by beginning again. What do you mean? They finish it, they start it again, they finish it, they start it again, they finish it, they start it again. Nimsa she'ein yachal lekatrig. And in this way, we respond to the satan. That's what the simcha of Simchas Torah is. Knowing that we can respond to the satan. We finish the job, and we have the humility to start again. Zeu kavanas ha'paitan b'derech pashrut. And that's what we're saying when we call the person up for chasam bereishis. We call them up and say, maskif enas chala lashlama b'tadira. Yeah? Shein shlo yiragel b'amzu l'shakra. We don't want the shade, we don't want the satan to be able to make his lies and say the Jews don't finish, the Jews don't start. We respond to that. We finish and we start. We finish strong and we start strong. That's the pashup shot, what we say when we call up the chasam bereishis. But explains the Yismach Yisrael. V'anachnu izbarnu advarm, but we've explained further. The ikur kli l'kiyam ha-Torah v'limuda hi hachna. However, let's move quickly. I want to finish up. The main way that a person acquires Torah is what? Is through humility. As Chazal explained, ma'mayim inim shorim ele b'makom namuch kach ha-Torah. Just like water always gravitates to the makom namuch, to the lowest point, Torah is found by humble people. V'lo timtza ha-Torah b'gase ha-ruach. Torah is not found by haughty individuals. V'shiyahachna be'emes v'anava sedek. A person should be truly humble and submissive. V'zek kitrug ha-satan kodem shesimu. So before we finish the Torah, the satan says about us, ha'inu she'enim lo'nimas ha-Torah b'shalemas karoi. Be'ema, v'yira, b'resas, b'zeya. Amanas l'kaima. First the satan says, the Jews, they don't take the Torah seriously, they don't learn it. Sha'amaisu sof l'siyam ha-machshava. They don't act on the Torah that they learn, even if they do learn it. And then when we finally finish the Torah, the satan comes along and tries to make us into Balei Gaiva. We've now done tshuva. We're celebrating the Torah. Simchas the Torah. We're dancing with the Torah. We're doing tshuva. Comes along the satan and says, oh, look at these Jews. They think they like own the Torah. They think they're the best learners. They think they're so serious. Tries to make us into Balei Gaiva. Look, these Jews think they're so great. Look how foolish and haughty they are. So we say back to the satan, what are you talking about? We know the Torah is endless. We start over again right away. Therefore, each person begins the Torah right away. We haven't even begun the Torah. We start again right away as if to say there's so much more to learn. We're not pretending we've mastered the Torah. We're happy we made it through a cycle, and we plan to start a new cycle right away. And the more we learn Torah, the more we realize we don't know anything. And we need to constantly start over. V'zahu perish ha-paitan. Shade hainu ha-satan. Shlo yiragil ba'amzu l'shakra. The satan tries to spread a lie about us. Shlo yachnis ha-sheker l'lev banav. But we start the Torah over to remind ourselves that what? Yes, we're overjoyed with our ability to finish the Torah. But we also feel a tremendous sense of responsibility to start the Torah again because we know there's so much more to learn. And that, my friends, is exactly how the last words of the Torah connect back to the beginning of the Torah. What are the last words of the Torah? Two lines from the bottom. Le'enei kol Yisrael. Shedavar zeh hichnis Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom b'kocho ha-gadol. She'a'onav ma'od mikol adam. Moshe Rabbeinu. How does the Torah sign off? Look at all the wondrous things that Moshe Rabbeinu did. Le'enei kol Yisrael. Moshe displayed himself before Bnei Yisrael. When you saw Moshe Rabbeinu, what was the feeling you got? This is a humble person. And this is a great person in Torah. So by seeing Moshe, you learned what? You learned what a person can accomplish in Torah, and you learned the humility that one needs to have to accomplish in Torah. Top of the left column. Everything Moshe did, all those signs and wonders that he performed, it was all laharos leinei kol Yisrael. It was all to teach bereishis bar Elokim. To teach what? Hainu acharei kol halimud vayegia neida shebereishis bar. Hainu shetzvicha v'nachnu lahascha mechadosh. It was all to teach us Moshe's life legacy, his lesson. His legacy is to teach us that what? Bereishis, always start over. Always start over. Always start over. There's always more to learn. Lachshov, lachor, lidrosh, yediyas shvo yizvach. There's so much to explore and to learn. Shu bilti bal tachlis ve'ein sof ve'ein cheker l'gdulaso. That Hashem is endless and His Torah is endless. And that's what it means, bereishis v'zeh beiz reishis. Hainu reishis halimud. Acharei kol halimud maschel oda pam bereishis. Whenever you finish learning a masechta, hadron alach, we're going to come back to you. Beiz reishis. When you start a masechta, you're committing yourself to start it again. When you start learning the Torah, you're committing to finish it and to start it again. Beis reishis, always many beginnings. Haynu she'ein tachlis ve'ein sof rak hakol b'chinas reishis. So then he writes, with this we come to his final point, the Torah is endless and it starts again and again and again. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is endless again and again and again. And therefore the Zohar tells us that Oraisa Yisrael v'kutshabrichu chadhu. Just like the Torah is endless, and just like God is endless, so guess what? A Jew is endless. Which means no matter how many times we messed up, we have an endless number of possibilities called tshuva. Beis reishis, bereishis. Start again. The Jewish soul is endless. It stretches from one end of the universe to the other end of the universe. V'zeh peirush hapasuk. Shemayim larum va'aretz la'omek v'lev malachim ein cheker. Look at this gevaldik pshat in Mishlei Parachafei. Shemayim larom, like the heavens above, va'aretz la'omek, and the earth in its depth, v'lev malachim, in the heart or the mind of kings, ein cheker, is beyond investigation. It's impossible to plumb the depths and the heights. Shemayim larom, what does Shemayim larom refer to? Hu romus HaKadosh Baruch Hu anikra Shemayim. The Shemayim above, God is endless. The Aretz laOmek, and the earth below, who's that a reference to? Hayni Yisrael, Hanikram Eretz Chayfetz. The earth below refers to us. Hashem above is endless. The earth below, Klal Yisrael, Hayinu Af Im Yisrael Hu BaOmek Maod B'Shafa LaMatzav. Even if we find ourselves in the lowest of places, we have to believe that we're endlessly deep, and there's an endless amount of possibilities of returning to Hashem. V'leiv malachim, says the pasuk. What's leiv malachim? Hu tachlis kavanas haTorah. The Torah is sometimes called the wisdom of kings, as it says on the pasuk in Mishlei, bi malachim yimlochu. So about Shemayim larum, about Hashem above, va'aretz la'omek, and the earth below, namely us. And leiv malachim, about the Torah, about all three of these things, declares Shlomo HaMelech, ein cheker. There is no investigation. There's no limitations. Right? It's beyond exploration. It's endlessly deep. And therefore, if a Jew finds himself in a situation where he feels that there is no hope, I had endless opportunities, and I came back to YU the same guy I was, which no one did. But if you ever felt that way, that a great opportunity passed you by, Rosh Hashanah wasn't what it could have been, Yom Kippur wasn't what it could have been, Sukkot wasn't what it could have been, Simchas Torah wasn't what it could have been, V'adayin lo shav, and I still didn't do tshuva. And I literally, Motzei Simchas Torah, I'm making the same mistakes I was making before Rosh Hashanah even began. V'hu mi b'chutz me'akadushan, I feel far from holiness. Yechazik etz asmo shel yish Yisrael v'lechelek Hashem shebekir bo, ein sof v'ein shiur l'mata chas v'sham. V'aretz la'omek, ein cheker. No matter how deep you fall, ein cheker. There's no bottom where a person can't pick himself up anymore.
V'tomid ha'eis lahaschil, top of the next page, v'chinas bereishis. It's always a time for bereishis. That's why we're reading bereishis this Shabbos. After it's all over, beis reishis. You can always start again. It's never over. V'lachach maschilin miyad acharei ha'yom v'kadoshim bereishis. And therefore we read bereishis. We connect the end of the Torah to the beginning of the Torah. Le'inei kol Yisrael. V'na'utz sofa b'tchilasa. And the end is stuck to the beginning and vice versa. V'kvar kasavnu l'mala. I've already explained previously. Kamo kain. Or kamo kach. Sh'nis'ala b'kedusha yeh ma'at ve'enav. To whatever degree a person grows in holiness and he gets bigger and bigger. V'yala b'chol pam yoser ba'aschala chadasha b'chinas reishas. He should always see himself as looking for new ways. So whether you've hit rock bottom and you feel like I can't start again, you can start again. And whether you feel like you've reached the highest madriga, there's no room to grow higher, there's more room to grow higher. Beis reishis. The Jew is always looking for new pathways, new openings. Yisharim darchei Hashem. And that's what it means. That's our response to the Umas HaOlam. You think the Torah starts from HaChodesh Zelachem, from the fresh start the Jewish people were given when they left Mitzrayim, they got the Torah. Keep the Torah or else God abandons you. No. The first word of the Torah. Hashem gave Eretz Yisrael to the one who's Yashar Be'enav. Sometimes we're kicked out of the land, Galus, and sometimes we come back to the land. And the goal is to believe in the possibility of starting over, again, endless amounts of times. We're never done learning Torah. We're never give up on a Jew. We never give up on ourselves. And Amir Tzoshev, we should take this lesson with us, not only into Parshas Bereishis, but every day of our life, to realize the endless possibilities of always coming back to the start.